Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on a bunch of different places. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. Rate and review the podcast. Helps out tremendously there. You can go to SoundCloud as well. You got the audio. You can listen right on SoundCloud, or you can download it. You can go to the Tumblr page now. Just look up Between the Ropes there and you'll find it. But iTunes and Stitcher, those are the easiest places to get it. And plus, you can subscribe there. If you subscribe as soon as I do a podcast, you will have it and you can listen to it. So we're less than 3 weeks away from WrestleMania now, and wanted to talk a lot more about that upcoming event with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, who I think is finally done on his own podcast of complaining about daylight savings time. Is that correct, Jason? Are you done complaining?
No, still a sore spot with me. Jeez. I did sleep in an extra half hour today, so I'm trying to get that time back. It felt good, but I'm not quite myself.
I woke up this morning and I literally thought it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I kind of did the old rollover look at the clock, and it said 7:05. I was like, what the hell? It's still dark out, man. This is ridiculous.
Hey, funny you said, I stumbled out of bed this morning and went into the bathroom to, you know, do my business. And my girlfriend was there getting ready, and I'm just like, what are you doing? And she's like, getting ready for work? Like, oh, have a good day. I had no idea what day it was. I seriously thought it was Saturday. I woke up, and I kind of remembered it, and she had to, like, tell me this happened in an email today. So, yeah, I'm still way off, clearly.
I'm with you, though. This time change thing is stupid. It sucks. I hate it. I hate waking up to darkness. I like that I got dark earlier at night, and now it's still bright out till like 8 o'clock at night. It's ridiculous.
Well, see, I don't really care one way or another. I guess being up here, I'll take the extra hour of daylight. I just say, everybody vote on it, pick one time and leave it. We don't need to do this. It's asinine. This was all started so they could save candles back in World War I. I'm not kidding you. After doing more research, every year I find a different excuse for it. This seems to be the most valid one.
Really? And I thought it was because of like farmers and crops.
No, that's what everyone, there's the farmer excuse, there's the kid excuse, there's all these different excuses, but there's a pretty good story on a site about kind of breaking down how it started in each place, and it actually started with the Germans in World War I, and it spread to the UK, and then some dope in the United States thought, hey, we should do this here, and Ben Franklin even got on board, and I'm like, oh my God, really? So all of this goes back to candles. Farmers get up when they get up. When the sun goes up, they get up. They don't care. It's just whatever. It's normal to them. Hmm. And then as far as kids, I'm sorry. Take your kid to work. Take your kid to school on your way to work. Yeah. Whatever. If you're so worried about them standing in the dark, what's the difference if they stand in the dark then or at 4 p.m? So, wow. You picked the scab again, Brian.
I know. And by the way, I do appreciate you having me on your podcast last week. I just wanted to make sure that you're still okay, that your city did not get WrestleMania, but my city got WrestleMania next year.
I am thrilled, as you know, because this means I don't have 20 people begging to sleep on my couch. They get to fight over who sleeps on your couch.
What?
Are you going to charge people? How are you going to make this work?
Well, you know, the couch is right now on Airbnb. The rates are quickly going up. Well, I mean, people can fight all they want if they want to come to your place, but I already know that I have that RSVP'd at all times.
Sure. I would have charged you a fortune.
Sure. I like how you say that. Yes, sure. You're going to charge me.
What you should do, Brian, is like get a new couch and then make people pay for it. If they want to crash your house, they just have to pay, or a recliner. Heck, get a couple of recliners. You could like have this all paid for, because I think in the long run it'll still be cheaper for them. Plus, with your celebrity now being the guy who most recently interviewed Vince McMahon, they're going to want to stay at your house. They may even pay more than they would to, like, stay at the Marriott.
Maybe. You know what the funny thing is when it comes to my so-called notoriety in interviewing Vince McMahon?
That you're picking on poor Scott Fishman?
You know what? Come this time next year, I'll probably still be the last person that interviewed Vince McMahon.
That's very true. Well, and even Vince, you know, he was talking about how he could have keeled over right there. You could be the last person to ever interview Vince McMahon. We'll see.
That may be. That might be the case. So I don't know.
And even if he's around 30 years, you might be the last person.
He rarely does those anymore, which is why I was surprised that I got to do it. You know, I mean, even when they told me like a day or two before and said, hey, you might get to talk to Vince, I was just like, oh, well, either I won't or it's going to be one of these things where he does a bunch of one-on-ones. Like, they'll pick out, like, 5, 6, 7 people in the media, like the local TV stations or whatever, and then I'll get thrown in there as well. They'll just make sure that I get in that group.
Just enough time for you to go. So tell me about WrestleMania coming to Orlando.
Right, you know, and then you know, everybody else is going to be talking about, you know, hey, how's your wrestling company doing? Don't call it wrestling, you know, or something. To you know, and I would have asked all my other questions or whatever. That would have been totally different. But instead, me and Vince just hanging out in the back room in the space that literally had the sign written on it that said Vince's office.
I can't believe they do that. Even for a press conference, they set up Vince's office for him.
That was great. I loved it. I felt like I was like on Raw or something, man. I was like, I'm going right there.
Well, did you look around to make sure the camera wasn't filming you? Or maybe when you're in Vince's presence, you just don't notice the camera, because that seems to happen on Raw a lot.
I didn't notice anything when I was around Vince other than Vince. Let's put it that way. Let's put it this way. When I was interviewing him, I made sure I kept eye contact. And there was a PR guy that was sitting off to my left-hand side by 10 or 15 feet. I not only never noticed him. I never looked over in that direction. I never even paid attention to him. Even if he was going to give me a wrap up or anything, I just never looked over there because Vince was just slightly to my right. And I said, this is where I'm keeping my attention.
Did you thank him for the lunches that he's paid for that he probably doesn't realize he's paid for over the years?
I didn't tell him that Uncle Vince has bought me a couple lunches over the years. As I refer to him, the people that have got me those lunches on WWE's dime, I refer to him as Uncle Vince.
I think that's the right way to go about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I kept that one out. I didn't even think about that. I wonder where that would have gone. He would have been fine with it. It's just a couple of IHOPs and a Cracker Barrel in there.
Yeah, you got to push for the fine dining experience.
Yeah, Uncle Vince did give me frozen yogurt one time, though, too.
Oh, yeah, you're a big frozen yogurt guy.
Well, the person that I was with, a certain WWE superstar, who I will not mention by name, was a big Froyo. No, it was not Triple H. But somebody desperately wanted Froyo that day.
Undertaker. I can see Undertaker being a big Froyo guy.
Did you see that video of Taker lifting, like, doing, what, 500-pound deadlifts and doing 40-inch box jumps?
No, there's something, like, Cena will put those videos out, and I know they're impressive, but it's like, I don't have an appreciation for it, just because it's like it all looks impressive to me. So if a guy's lifting 500 or 525, I'm just like, okay, he's lifting weights. And it's always, you know, it's more than I can do. God bless him. But it's just like watching them do it, it's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, the 500 pounds, I mean, I'm not even close to that. You know, I'm not a weightlifter, so I can't even fathom that. But the 40-inch box jump, that's what, like, impressed me. I'm like, this dude's 50, man, and he's doing 3.5 feet.
Would they be raving about him at the NFL scouting combine?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Did he do that triple jump thing or, like, jump up and hit those things to measure how high he can jump in the air?
Well, he wouldn't have to worry too much about that because he's taller than most people in the NFL. I mean, there are a few guys that are, like, 6'8", and there's plenty of guys, like, in the mid-6s, but I don't think there's too many people that are 6'10 in the NFL.
I think he could have started for your Bears at one point last season.
Probably. Yeah. Even the season before, I would say he probably could have.
Yeah.
What position would he have played, though?
Taker. Pretty, you know, I don't think he's got the speed to be wide receiver, but, I mean, just the tall, lanky frame, you'd think that's what they would want him to play.
Tight end?
Or you'd have to put some weight on, I think, to be like any type of lineman. So
could he have been a defensive line quarterback?
You know what? It's Taker. He plays whatever position Taker wants to play.
I'd put him on the interior or the defensive line, even though he'd get pushed around. But he could put his hands up and he could really disrupt the quarterback's view.
Works for me. He has more fingers than a certain New York Giant, so he's got that going for him.
Who's not going to be wearing a club in his hand next year?
That's going to be awkward.
That dude's only going to have 3 fingers.
Yeah.
Waving them around. Maybe that's how he can get people's attention, just freak everybody out by like, hey, look what I don't have.
Do they have a special half flag for him when he holds?
That'd be
great. That's terrible. Somebody out there is offended. I'm sorry you lost digits, mister.
It's a 10-yard penalty if he holds with his right hand, but if it's with his hand that he's missing fingers, it's only a 5-yard penalty.
I love it. I hope there's a special JPP like version of Madden where you get that.
Let's get into Mania. So we're less than 3 weeks away. How are you feeling about WrestleMania right now?
Pretty blah. You know, I thought Monday was probably their biggest show of the year going in. And you know, I think it was meant to be. I mean, we know the big three matches, and they are what they are. You have your spectacle. You have your mess of a title match with a challenger who no one wants to cheer. Well, okay, some women do, but the WrestleMania crowd's certainly not going to want to. And you have, you know, the Brock and Ambrose match. It's McMahon Mania, and then the undercard is kind of coming together. I mean, Brian, I think it can be a good show, but it just doesn't have that big Mania feel to it, especially, you know, as long as we've known this was going to be at this stadium. It's like, my God, biggest WrestleMania ever. They're going to roll out you know, everything they can. Will Steve Austin come back? Will they get The Rock for a match? And just all the talent that they had. Yeah, there's been some injuries, but man, this is if you would have told me a year ago that this was the lineup, I would have like cried. I would have shook my head and been like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, I agree when it comes to there are some injuries that they have to deal with, and I understand that's why I think the main matches are what they are. I mean, if they were healthy right now, I don't think Shane McMahon would be back in the fold, or at least not on this level. But at the same time, I get the feeling more and more every year that they look at WrestleMania as this is the matches that we want. Some of it is definitely obviously what, you know, they want to try to make them as intriguing as possible to fans as well. But it's not just WrestleMania isn't built off the particular matches. It's more and more just on the WrestleMania brand. I mean, they'll try to put bigger matches out there, but it that's how they're not necessarily going to sell it. It's going to be like, hey, this is WrestleMania. It's the biggest show of the year and the one that you can't miss. And this year, more so than ever before, I really feel that. And like I said, I know there's injuries, but when you look at the lineup for it, it doesn't really scream out special.
No, it doesn't. And you know, Vince in your interview with him hinted at some surprises along the way. And so, I mean, I think they'll roll some out maybe over the next couple of weeks and then some at WrestleMania itself. And so I think it can be a good show. And I think they're very fortunate that they built the WrestleMania brand to be what it is, with the ticket sales doing so well. And I think network wise, they're going to be fine. There'll be an increase, maybe not as substantial of one as we would have thought a year ago. It had everything lined up the way we thought it may, but so they're going to be okay. It's just, I think it's a bit underwhelming going in, and it might be like last year where you kind of had that feeling going in like, yeah, this is a good Mania. It's not a great Mania, but then the show plays out and you're wowed by it. But there's also, I would say, potential for disaster as far as those big three matches go. I mean, we don't know what they plan in that world title match. And if it's just Vince being stubborn, that has disaster written all over it with Roman Reigns. And Shane and Taker, I think, is a match everybody kind of, whether they like the idea or not, you feel like you have to see it. And it's just one of those attraction matches, and it's a train wreck. You really you can't really take your eyes off it. But it doesn't mean it's going to be a good match. I'm sure they'll pull out all the stops. There'll be all sorts of bells and whistles for it, but does it come together? And watching what Shane has done whenever he's gotten physical on Raw over the last couple of weeks has been pretty damn embarrassing, Brian.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I mean, we say this all the time when it comes to some of their storylines, but why would they have the guys touch in advance, especially when it's a match when we know there's going to be bells and whistles, like you said? I mean, it's... when it comes to Shane against Taker, it's more about, to me, about the buildup for the match than the match. And even when you get to the match, it's all about what one spectacular thing is Shane going to do and what happens at the end. It's not going to be about how good is the overall match, you know? And that's why I was particularly surprised with this one, that they had the guys get physical on Raw. They already had Taker, you know, throw him down. And on top of that, the way that they set up Shane McMahon, that was bad. I mean, I give a lot of credit to Shane for coming out on social media and admitting that he flubbed his lines, you know, but the lines that he was given past that, talking about how he was going to be Taker, that was horrible.
That was bad. I mean, he's like telling, hey, here's my strategy. It was like Mike Tice was back as the Viking head coach. He used to actually do that. He'd go on, he had a Mike Tice radio show, and he would go on there and talk about the strategy they were going to use during the game. And local reporters were just baffled. They're like, is it a smoke screen? And then they'd watch the game. No, he gave away the game plan. And so it kind of felt like that. Like, why would you do this if you're Shane? You know, getting tongue-tied, yeah, it's embarrassing. But it's happened to all of us. I mean, I felt bad for him at that moment. The thing that got me, Brian, you throw body shots at Taker, the legend, 25 years Undertaker. You throw a few bad Shane McMahon punches at her body shots. It's time to do the Shane shuffle. I mean, when he was a heel, a cocky, dumb heel as a kid, sure, you do the Shane shuffle there. And then Taker just has his way with you. When you're the babyface or whatever he is supposed to be, I guess they both kind of are, I just don't feel like that's the place to do the Shane shuffle. I just rolled my eyes at that.
Yeah, and I think the hardest thing that people are going to have to deal with is it's already Undertaker, okay? But this is also the guy that has stood, that lost at WrestleMania, had his streak ended to Brock Lesnar, okay? And this is the guy that stood toe-to-toe with Lesnar in his matches, though. And they built up Lesnar as like almost this unbeatable beast now. And now you're having Shane McMahon do damage to him, you know? So that, I mean, that's already going to be one of these things where you really got to suspend disbelief. And that's why I think, to me, it's more about the buildup to this match and the importance of the outcome of it. And I think there's a lot of details that they have been leaving out. I think that they should be impressing upon everybody the ramifications of this match, a lot more going into it. And I really wish that they would have, and maybe they still will, but I really wish they would have explained why Taker is doing this match in the first place.
Yeah, the storyline has been so disappointing, you know, because I was really excited when Shane came back. It was like, okay, this doesn't make a sense as far as Shane just being fine with the idea of facing Taker. But what really got me was right out of the gate, I gave him the benefit of the doubt initially. It was that whole thing where he has this lockbox that has something he's holding over Vince McMahon that he can basically blackmail him with. But yet he agrees to go ahead and face Taker. He has the leverage. Why is he, say, putting that on the line? And imagine, I mean, what is Vince giving up here? It doesn't make any sense. And I thought, well, maybe they'll come up with a way to explain it. This lockbox thing could be interesting. Lockbox is basically forgotten about. I thought they'd give us some reason for why Taker is doing this more than just what it is. It's basically implied that he'll just face whoever that they put in front of him. You know, he just, whether it's he wants the competition or you want to go deeper with the character is dark and he's out to take people, whatever, however you want to look at it, they kind of left that open to interpretation. I just expected a much more cohesive storyline rather than what we've been given. Keep in mind, they kept this very secret. You know, this wasn't something that all 20 some writers, I don't believe they knew about. So this would be the McMahons. And even if it were just left at that, they should be able to come up with a really strong storyline, go over it a million times. So there's not any holes there. And then you figure they probably did include some of the high end writing staff on this. And this is the best they came up with.
Yeah. And I don't think it would have been that difficult to sew it up. You know, when it comes to all the little details, you can come to an explanation of why Taker is doing this. Just like they're going to have to come up with some kind of explanation on what happens in the finish of that match, no matter which direction that they go. You know, there's a lot of little things that are falling through the cracks that you can let happen, I think, in some other matches. But for this one, this is the one I don't think they could get away with as much. And you know, I really am surprised that every week they are not just clubbing everybody over the head like, hey, this is for control of the company. Or, you know,
but a control of Raw. What is right. that?
Well, yeah. And that's when they say Raw. I don't know if this is still going to happen or if it's even been talked about. But because they didn't say control of the company and they said Raw in particular, that's what almost makes me believe, like, could there actually be a brand split? Could there be something right. of Raw and SmackDown? Because otherwise you would have think they would have said control of WWE and not just one show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible. I mean, there was that weird Ticketmaster moment where they had the Baltimore show listed as WWE Raw versus WWE. It may have been nothing. It may have been somebody screwed up and put out some data that, or, you know, just an ad that shouldn't have been put out there. It was quickly changed. And so I don't know where this is going. They've been pretty coy about whether Shane is going to be around after Mania. I know there's reports that he's only scheduled to be there through Mania. And I'm not doubting anyone in particular, but I would say if I were in WWE shoes, I would float that. I would want people – well, I may just leave it alone, actually. I don't know that I'd want people thinking that they know the finish of that match, but I can see them going with kind of the reverse logic on that, going, well, let's make them think that Shane's only going to be here for so long, so they're surprised by the outcome if indeed Shane does win this. I mean, how do you see that playing out? Is it Taker basically destroy Shane, but in order to do the right thing, if you will – sacrifices himself at WrestleMania and allow Shane to pin him?
I don't think they should or will go the route where he gets allowed to pin. I could see something where what I call the Star Wars finish, where it's Vince saving Shane, which is like the Emperor, like, you know, Darth Vader taking out the Emperor to save his son, you know? I think there's another logical finish that they could do here too, because of the ramifications that are going on. So Taker's just beating Shane up from pillar to post, and you know, at some point the cage gets opened up, right? So somebody could come in there.
Of course, yeah.
What if it was John Cena that came in there? And what if he hit his finisher on Taker and allowed Shane to win, and that sets up Taker against Cena for next year?
I think it's really possible. You know, I mean, I think we'll see a lot of interference in that match, whether it's Steve Austin. You know, they may save Shawn for the main event or the title match. I don't even know what's going to be the actual main event. But I do think I'll be surprised if we don't see some involvement of Steve Austin, too. I think Cena makes sense. He's certainly hinting at doing something still. I mean, he told you he's not going to do an actual match. I haven't closed the door 100% on him being like a last minute addition to this show. Somebody threw out the idea, even like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but like New Day, if it turns out to be a handicap match, do they get to bring in Cena? And that way Cena is very limited in what he does. And it's not certainly not great use of Cena, but it just gets him on the show and limits his involvement. You know, so he doesn't have to go out there and work a full-fledged match, but he actually gets to do a little something. And that was interesting. But I think it is certainly possible that he is added to that mix somehow, especially when we know Cena and Taker were supposed to face off at this WrestleMania. And they're going to want to go back to that match, whether it's for next year's Mania, if Taker doesn't want to hang around that long, SummerSlam even. You know, there's a lot they can do there to kind of plant the seeds for that match starting at this WrestleMania. So, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I think it would be a mistake if they did like a handicap match from a standpoint of not advertising John Cena for WrestleMania. To me, that would be foolish.
Right.
Now, I could see them doing the setup in not doing the match between Taker and Cena at WrestleMania next year. I could see them doing it at SummerSlam.
Sure.
And the reason why I say that is because I still think, no matter what they do with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania this year, and whether he leaves that show as a babyface or heel or as champion or whatever, I think they have so much invested in Roman. I think the main event for next year's WrestleMania is John Cena against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I don't think, as much as people are tired of Roman, I don't think we've seen the last of him in a Mania main event. They're very committed. You know, that this has been Vince's guy. I think the right approach is to get him flipped heel. And now if they want to come back with, yeah, but we're turning John Cena heel, okay. I don't think it's the right move. I think Cena still has support. And, I mean, how big would that be if Vince totally went all in and executed a John Cena heel turn to help get Roman Reigns over?
Well, yeah, I think that would backfire him, though.
I do, too.
And that's why I don't think you can do it. I think it would be, if you want to do it, you got to do it for the right reasons. I think it's extremely difficult to do regardless, but that would be the wrong reason, because no matter what, Reigns ain't going to get the attention. And I know some people are wondering, like, will they turn Reigns heel before Mania, or will they do it at Mania? I don't think they can do it before Mania because it would be too drastic of a change, and they've already got the plan set up. I don't know if you can really do it at Mania, but I definitely think you could do it on the Raw the day after WrestleMania.
I you know, there's a way to do a double turn in the Mania main event. And I... the tricky part, it's like you can look at everything Roman has done lately and say, yeah, you know, there's they may be leading to this. And he can obviously lash out at the fans who have been booing him. What are we seeing from Triple H, though, other than, yeah, he likes to do crotch chops and he plays to the crowd when he shouldn't, if he's the heel in all of this. But what did we just hear from on Monday, Brian? It was nothing but your lives are pathetic and you're all, you know, basically just talking down to the fans. They're so big on foreshadowing that I would think we'd be seeing some trace of it, at least. I don't think he'd be going so aggressively at the fans if Triple H was going to turn at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's why I don't think Triple H is turning. I think it would be something where you have, you know, Reigns wins the title. People would just go crazy nuts booing him. And then the next night, maybe Reigns just flips his lid and just says, fine. Because why don't you guys appreciate me? You know, and they ever did something like that, whenever
it
might
be. What about Roman?
Yeah, kind of thing, you know. If they ever do something like that, though, I would beg and implore them to just let him do it on his own terms and not script that thing. Let him just do it on his own. Because I think he could easily handle it on his own. But just let him be himself, you know, in a promo like that.
I'm totally with you. Nothing that they've done so far with him tells me that will happen, though. I mean, he's so scripted. You know, I just wish they turned Heyman loose. Let Heyman be the guy. If you're going to have anyone script him or come up with the bullet points for him to kind of guide him, it should be Heyman. Because look at the work he did on the Snowden edition of Raw. You know, that was the best we've heard Roman Reigns. It was still the best hype that they did with Roman for last WrestleMania. It was very early on in the WrestleMania build. When they were snowed in and had to do the sit-down thing just to fill that Raw time. But I was open to it, like, oh, maybe this will get better as we move on. And it wasn't all bad, the build to Lesnar and Reigns, but that was still the best. And, I mean, for that matter, if they really want to protect Roman, had they gone with the rematch of Brock and Reigns, which I really feel like they should have done, I'd be outright praying for it, just openly praying for Heyman to turn on Lesnar and join Reigns. Because I think Heyman doing the talking with Reigns chiming in, but I just being there with him every step of the way would be the best thing that could happen to Roman. And because I think that Roman can still be a top babyface for WWE if they pull back now. And he has a heel run. I think that is very needed. And I think you've talked about that too in the past, Brian.
Yeah, you know, he needs to be a heel. I mean, I don't know. There's a couple of different ways that you could set it up. I mean, they could have done it the way you said with Heyman. And maybe that is something they could visit down the line. If he had been with Vince, I just think that would have been a really, really good pairing from a standpoint of, you know, Vince is always going to look. And I wouldn't do it with Triple H and Stephanie necessarily, but I would definitely do it with Vince from a standpoint of, you know, just do it like a real life thing. Where you say, hey, I'm looking at the young guy that's built, that looks the part, plays the part, that, you know, will do my bidding kind of thing. And that's Roman Reigns, and he's my guy. And, yep, I'm going to back him with every, you know, ounce of power and strength that I have for my position. You know, who knows? Maybe Shane McMahon gets power, and maybe Shane says, I'm going to enlist Roman Reigns to help me keep my power.
Yeah, that's been a theory, and I am so down on it. I'm not saying they won't do that.
Right. I question that one, too.
Well, here's why. It's you're getting the fans' hopes up for some change, and yes, the people playing the role changes, but you're right back to heel authority figures. If all of a sudden Shane is like, he has control of Raw, and he's Roman is his guy, it scares me because I can see the McMahons thinking, oh, it'll be great because it involves them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's what people want. I think most of the excitement about Shane, people are just happy he's back. You know, they were genuinely surprised and very excited to see him. But I do think some of it is good. Somebody that we can finally get rid of, whether it's a casual fan who's not thinking about it this deep or not. It's just knowing that finally something can change and it's not going to be this same old, this tired formula where they're just replaying things from the McMahon-Austin era even. And now even we're seeing Daniel Bryan recycled with Roman Reigns against Hunter. I think WWE needs to move on from that. And I think if you get people excited about Shane and then you pull the rug out from under him, they did this one other time with Shane too, where he did end up rejoining his father. And I just remember groaning at the time. I don't even remember the specifics. I have a terrible memory, but I just remember feeling like, oh God, Shane represents change. And I think they need to follow through with it somehow, some way.
Well, it's funny too, because we sit there and we talk about the change and whether or not they'll do something like a brand split or whatever. And are they just teasing it? And I almost think that they have to, just from the standpoint that that is one thing that they have been talking about. They haven't been talking necessarily about, you know, slamming us over the head, like I said, about the power thing. But they have been having, you know, bringing out the points about you guys want change. And, you know, and even Vince went out of his way during the promo on Raw this past Monday about fans want change and they want to see business done differently or blah, blah, blah. When it comes to matches, you know, newer, fresher matchups and things like that. To makes me believe like they got to do something along those lines. They have to deliver. And this can't just be a tease, because if that's just a tease for being a heel, that's the kind of thing that I think could turn off people, because you're giving them hope for a change. And if you pull that back, that's the wrong kind of heat to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. You can't get them excited just to go, we got you again. At some point it just becomes, oh, not again. And people just move on. And I mean, obviously I can't, but if I was just a viewer and they did that, I would want to. And I mean, hell, it's just like, it's the wrong move to make. People have seen this heel authority figure thing for so long. There's a generation of fans that doesn't know any different, that like, how can there be wrestling without heel authority figures? And it's like very easily, and it's done much better. It leaves so they're just not the huge storyline gaps that it always creates, or just logic holes. There's so many things that it's run its course. It's time for something new, and hopefully they do it. I don't know how they get there. I don't know if it will be a brand split. That scares me too, because then it's just, great, the McMahons are sticking around and fighting for power with one show versus the other. So even if somebody out there likes the brand split, like, you think there's enough talent to do it, and I'm very leery of it, just because I see what they do, the trouble they have filling 3 hours of Raw now, and then you want to take half the roster away, and that frightens me. But do you really want to see Shane on one side battling Vince? We've been there and done that before, and it wasn't very good.
Right, and that's why I think that if they do decide, you know, if Shane wins and he's got the power and everything, they can easily do the babyface GM. And I think that solves a couple of things, because everybody wants to cheer Shane, but Shane's not going to be there every week. Maybe Shane could be there once every 4 or 5 months, six months. So you could do something like that where Shane, you know, you could do the whole thing where, hey, I'm on the phone with Shane or whatever, but you never see him. And, or even if you do see him, it could be something that's pre-taped and you just go to him and he films, you know, this 1 or 2 minute promo. And then he has a de facto babyface GM in his place. Maybe that's Daniel Bryan. Maybe that's somebody else. I don't know who that would be.
Don't even have a general manager. Put all the, you know, he becomes Stanley Blackburn or Jack Tunney, where when you need somebody to step in and play that part, cool. Like you say, it can be done from his office. He doesn't even have to be there sometimes. But you don't need somebody setting up everything and people, you know, just wrestling wasn't done that way. And I know they want to be sports entertainment, but the whole concept of heel authority figures, general manager, it's all tired.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's a lot of different things when it comes to that. It's funny because, like, you know, today being 316, everybody's talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin and bringing up all these different, you know, memories and highlights from his career. And the one thing that always gets me, and I know you can't do this all the time, but it's one of the things we think of when it comes to Austin, is just how spontaneous things were and how you kind of got these gotcha moments. And we don't really see that, you know, as much anymore. You know, like I said, you know, you can't do it all the time. Like, you got the Shane McMahon one, and that was a pretty big thing, but we just don't see those too often, or even these moments where they do something that's kind of like wild and crazy that feels a little bit more spontaneous, that really fits a character, and it's something that really stands out. I mean, we don't have too many of those standout moments anymore.
No, and I think they kind of want Dean Ambrose to fill some of that role, but he is so overly scripted too, and they make him just kind of cartoonish. You know, he's a little too zany and wacky at times, and I think he can be that guy. But there's not, they need to kind of pull back on just how funny they try to make him. I you know, when Steve Austin was at his peak, it wasn't all the kumbaya skits and guitar playing and cowboy hats. It was Steve Austin just being a straightforward ass kicker. And
right.
Yeah, you did get some very entertaining skits along the way, and there were bedpans and things like that. But by and large, it was just Steve Austin straightforward, and you knew, like, okay, Vince is in the ring with him. He's about to take a stunner. You know, I mean, you just knew something was going to happen there. There was that magic. And by the way, how bad is John feeling today on 316 day when everyone's talking about Steve instead of John?
How bad is the guy that used to have the clown wig on that hold up the John 316 signs at football games feeling today?
Didn't he turn out to be a pervert or a murderer or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, he was all over that. I'm sure there's a lot of younger people listening that have no idea what we're talking about. But, yeah, he had a rainbow-colored wig, and he would show up at the sporting events. And if it wasn't for that murderer or pedophile or whatever, I think he was a murderer, I think is what – I'll look it up so we don't get sued. But, no, if it wasn't for him holding up those signs at all the sporting events, I don't think we'd have an Austin 316 day.
Yeah, I got to look it up too. What was that guy's name? Oh, here it is, Roland Stewart. He was known as Rainbow Man. Let's see. He did get arrested in 1992 when he entered a vacant room with two men he was attempting to kidnap and surprised a maid who then locked herself in the bathroom. Reportedly, Stewart believed that the rapture was due to arrive in 6 days.
How'd that work out for him?
Yeah, he's currently serving 3 consecutive life sentences in prison on kidnapping charges, having rejected a plea of 12 years in order to spread his message in open court.
Oh, just kidnap? Oh, that's different.
His next parole review will be in 2017, though.
Oh, no. So we really, society could have him and OJ back the same year?
Okay, can I read you the really funny line here? It's a serious line, but if you read it, you'll instantly think something funny, okay?
Okay.
After this conviction, he was found guilty of 4 stink bomb attacks.
Of what?
4 stink bomb attacks. What?
Are they going to add time for those, or has time already been served for those?
Whoever was in the cell with him might have suffered the most. My God. So for Mania 2, here's another thing that's kind of surprised me. Okay, we've heard, obviously, we know, and they've announced that Rock is going to be there. They haven't officially announced that Shawn Michaels or Steve Austin are going to be there, but we basically know they are. I have no idea how they're going to be used. I'm surprised that they haven't, like, even if you haven't said how they're going to be used, why haven't they been impressing to everybody? This is going to be WrestleMania. WrestleMania is always a big show. We've got these big matches, and we've got some of your favorites from the past. They're all going to be appearing, and you don't have to tell them how they're appearing. Just say The Rock and Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels are all going to be a part of the extravaganza, and they've done none of that.
No, I wonder if it is, because they had Roadblock, you know, and I thought we might get some of that this past Monday, and we didn't. I wonder if we'll get some of it next Monday, even on the go home show, or if they will just wait. You know, they might feel like it's implied. We know Rock will be there, but with Austin, one of those they may choose to make a surprise, and I'm not endorsing that. I think if you're going to have Austin there, you make it known and let people tune in to find out how and what he's going to do. But they may feel like they need surprises on that show. Like Vince was telling you, you know, they still have some surprises. There'll be some that occur on the actual show. They're in the business of selling network subs, or at least getting people right now to sign up for free and hoping they can convert them. I do wonder if there's some feeling that, yeah, it's a bit of an underwhelming show, so we do need to load it up with a couple of surprises, or at least one big one, to get people coming out of that show feeling really good about WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason why. It goes back to the whole, well, people are going to get it no matter, you know, if they were going to get it, it's not going to change their mind if Shawn or Steve or The Rock are going to be there, because they're not wrestling, and we want to have some surprises.
I think Steve leads to some. You know, we've seen enough of Shawn. I don't know that there's too many people out there going, well, I wasn't going to order Mania, but Shawn Michaels is there, now I'm going to. I do think Austin is enough that, yeah, I think there's some people that, if they're on the fence, that would give them a nudge.
What if they even just said something like, we know that Steve's not going to wrestle, but Steve Austin said, I'm going to be there, and I promise you this, I'm not having a match, but I guarantee I am going to raise some hell Stone Cold style. That's all you'd have to say.
Works for me.
I still selfishly hope that he goes with the idea that I suggested to him last year, when I said that they should have the biggest beer bash in WWE history.
You are hell-bent on this happening.
I know, I am.
You want small children to be just
drunk
off their asses.
I want a picture of a four-year-old cracking open a Budweiser, okay?
If this happens, everyone, remember this podcast, because we can all file a lawsuit against Brian for what he's done to society.
It's not me. I just suggest an idea. They're the ones that are handing out alcohol to minors, okay?
Like, you know, I'm saying,
what are they going to do? Grab me out of the media room while I'm there, put me in cuffs, and I can raise a fuss like Stone Cold did back in the day? What are you doing back here?
I don't think it was just me. I maybe it explains a lot about me. But assuming it wasn't just me, I remember, you know, or at least have been told about sitting on Dad's lap, taking that, you know, first sip of beer at a very young age, and it being very, you know, that bitter taste and not liking it initially. So that's probably what you get. I mean, there might be one kid that really loves it and just goes to town on it. But
I just like bringing up the idea because I am doing my best Barry Horowitz, patting myself on the back. Because I brought up that idea to Steve last year, and he thought it was a good idea. He said it's better than any other idea I've heard so far.
And as of, a few weeks ago, it may have been the only idea that's been given to him. My God, he was saying a few weeks ago that they hadn't even reached out to him yet?
Yeah, and I think he said since then that he was just like, yeah, we've talked, but yeah, that's... I mean, obviously he's going to keep it quiet, but
sure.
It's strange, you know, but... Hell, what if it was something that he said, I don't like, and he says, I'm not going to do it? Because Steve's always been like, if there's not going to be something cool and something that I like,
right,
there's no point in me being a part of a show, which I totally understand.
Oh, yeah, and I respect him for that. I do wonder with the fact that, you know, he definitely collects a check from them for the network and being a legend and things. I wonder how far he would take that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, hey, if they tell him to go out there and take part in an R-Truth Goldust skit, that he just go along with it. I mean, there's a point where he's going to reject it, but I do wonder if he would settle a little bit, going, okay, it's not exactly what I want, but I also need to maintain my business relationship with these people.
Right, you know, and in the, he definitely wants to keep that, and rightfully so. I mean,
yeah,
we've known this for a long time, and everybody should, but I mean, he's come out on his podcast lately and said, yeah, there's certain things or certain places I can't go at when it comes to these podcasts that I do with WWE talent.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. And, you know, Brian, I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but it's no different than when you interview Vince. You're not going to go for the jugular in that setting. You're representing the Orlando Sentinel. Because I've heard people say, well, boy, he could have brought this up and he could have brought that up. And it's like, I think people need to understand you were representing the Orlando Sentinel. It was an interview about WrestleMania coming to Orlando, and you were able to work some other things in there. It wasn't a, let's discuss your entire life, the steroid trial, and all these other things that I think people want any interviewer to get into. It, sometimes you have to understand the circumstances. I'm no different. When I get, if TNA lines up a guest, or Ring of Honor lines up a guest to do a podcast, there's a line. You know, it's different than getting somebody individually where you go into, you line up the interview. It's not a guest that's being sent to you to promote something. There's a different way of doing that interview, for me anyway. And if people want to, well, you're not, you know, you're giving them softballs, so be it. It's just, it's a different format for me.
Right.
And you're just, not that you can't, not that you're not going to ask some tough questions, but are you going to just go all out, go for the jugular in that setting, knowing that, yeah, this isn't what they signed up for. No.
Right. And there's certain things like from the past, like when you talk about Vince, like I don't feel a need. And I don't feel a need to talk about the steroid trial, some things that are years ago. I mean, there's no need to go in there. That's kind of, you know, been there, done that, closed door kind of thing. Yes, you could definitely ask some pointed questions, but at the same time, I think you have to ask them the right way and at the right time, because it's
right.
One of these things where if you go hard hitting, whether it's Vince McMahon or anybody else, and you do it very early in an interview, you run the risk of them shutting down, and that affects the rest of the interview, which, hey, I've screwed that up in the past where I've asked something, whether it was dumb or going too far, you know, early on in an interview. And then you're sitting there because you've got another 10 minutes to go after that. And the guy's not going to open up to you. You know, you get short answers. I mean, and that's the last thing that you want. And I was just lucky enough that when I sat down with Vince, we had a good conversation and we just kept talking about stuff. And I don't think he ever felt like, you know, I was pulling out, you know, the white, you know, like, you know, he was at the police house and he was under an interrogation, you know, and I try to ask supporting questions. There was definitely a couple of other things that I could have asked, but there was only so much time that was involved, and I had already overstepped, you know, the boundary of time. And I mean, I know that I stopped the interview, but I also knew I went way over, and I didn't want to push my luck any further too, because I was told I had 10 minutes and I was over 20 minutes at that point when it wrapped up.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you don't have to defend yourself at all. There's always going to be things, any interview you do, you're going to look back and go, damn, I wish I would have asked this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've had every interview I've ever done. I get done with it and I feel good at the time. And then I think if I have to transcribe it or if I think about it a little bit, like, oh shoot, you know, there's always that thing in there. And so, I mean, I don't think I haven't, not that I've heard like a ton of backlash or anything about this, Brian, but I do think people kind of need to understand the circumstances. And just as I hope that, like, if you, in my case, if I, like, again, if I interview someone from TNA, if it's something TNA lined up, it's going to be a very different interview than if I've had that person on in the past or have them on in the future, and it's something that person and I agreed to do.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, then it's like, okay, you know what you're signing up for. We're going to cover everything. You can still say no comment, but I'm going to ask you every question I want to.
Right. I mean, the only other things I could have asked him about, one, I flat out meant to ask him about, and there was a place where I could have put it, and I just forgot, was just talk about the speculation of would they ever do a Hall of Fame, you know, which became a hot topic, and obviously it's not happening at where people thought it was going to happen at, because that's now going to be a chocolate factory, you know, right, out at Universal Studios at the City Walk there.
So 2 years from now, that space will be available again.
Maybe, I don't know. and I don't know what other spaces might become available there, because it's a good location for it. But, you know, I don't know what's going on there. The only other thing that, really thinking about it, you know, a couple days removed, that I wish I could have asked about, you know, would have been, I don't think it would have been touchy necessarily, but I could have worked in there, and I would have been interested to get his response, would have been to talk about Roman. And sure. I think the way to ask it would have been something like, are you surprised?
Are you in love with Roman Reigns?
Right. When you look into his eyes, do you get lost in those blue pools? but it would have been something like, Roman Reigns has been receiving a negative reaction leading into last year's WrestleMania from the audience, and he's again getting that this year. Are you surprised by that?
Sure.
Something like that. And I know it's a yes or no question, and it's something you typically try to avoid, but I think Vince would have gone into detail about it, you know, or at least even on a surface level, it wouldn't have been just like, no, and he would have shut down at that point.
Call him up. You're the big timer now.
Call him up. I got Vince on speed dial.
Yeah, I figure you just got a direct line to Vince at all times, and you guys like hang out and have that froyo.
It was not Vince McMahon that wanted the froyo, but
I'm gonna find out. All right, not Taker, not Hunter, not Vince.
Stephanie. It was not Stephanie. It was funny. I think I told you this. Taker, I actually did talk to very briefly one time, and it was after. Oh, man. What WrestleMania match was it? I think it was the second one against Triple H. Well, technically the third one, but the back-to-back years that they most recently had. His most recent match with Triple H at Mania, I somehow got into the WWE hotel and was hanging around the lobby. And I saw Taker walking right towards me. And I was thinking, this is going to be the only opportunity I ever have to talk to this guy. Okay? So He saw that I was looking at him, and he kind of stopped, and I put out my hand, and I just said, hey, I just wanted to say hell of a match. And he shook my head, and he said, thank you, appreciate it. And he kept on going. And I was like...
And then you threw body shots and did the Shane shuffle.
I did. I was picking up a chair. I was going to hit him from behind, but, you know, it just didn't happen. I couldn't find a chair at that moment.
Yeah, I think my only interaction with Taker would be... SummerSlam press conference '99. Lear Jesse was the ref. And it was, I was working at the Torch. Wade Keller's pwtorch.com. See, I do that to him when I drop your name.
Oh,
so
I
can return the favor there. I like to mention your name a couple times on the live cast if you haven't noticed.
I do like that. I love the name drops. It's great.
I like to sneak it in when possible.
I feel guilty about, though?
What's that?
I was on Wade's show recently, and I forgot to mention my LinkedIn account somehow.
Oh, no. Yeah, you never got around to that. We talked about that going in.
I know. I was supposed to mention that.
Along with, like, 700 other platforms.
Mm, I know. I think I plugged my Twitter account once, and that was about it.
But yeah, anyway, Wade and I, we were covering the press conference, and they had like a, I don't know if it was a truck or a car. I don't remember what it was. I remember it was cool, but it was something that they had there for, that like had Taker's design on it. And we happened to be looking at it at the same time Taker was looking at it, and just had that moment of, you know, kind of like admiring the car. And it was very brief, but I mean, he was cordial, and that was it. There's my Undertaker experience, and now everyone knows what a moment it was in history.
Exactly. We've all had our little slight histories with Undertaker.
or brush with death, as I like to call
it. Yes, the brush with death. So, a couple last things. So, we sit here and we talk about Mania, and we wonder about different things that could happen afterwards, especially when it comes to a possible brand split or Shane McMahon's involvement or anything. What do you make of, and what have you heard or not heard about a possible power struggle behind the scenes between Vince and Shane and Stephanie and Triple H?
Very little. I mean, I know what's being reported, and I, you know, could Vince be crazy enough at age 70 to be threatened by Triple H and NXT, like his ego be threatened? I guess. I mean, it's interesting that he's not including that in the pitch for WWE Network and the WrestleMania events, but that could easily be, well, Hunter's going to do a double turn, and he's going to, that'll be one of the things he brings up when he explains his logic or why he's suddenly seen the light. But I mean, that's, it's interesting, the timing of that. It's, I don't know. I mean, I just think Vince would be crazy, with all due respect to Shane McMahon, to turn this thing over, and to think that Shane is going to do a better job than what Hunter has done with developmental, or just, you know, and I don't know. It's not that Shane isn't going to have his strengths in some areas. Hunter's done a tremendous job with, I think, assembling a great talent roster, as talent in talent relations, of getting the Performance Center going, of getting this NXT brand off the ground and making it bigger than I think anyone thought it was going to be at this juncture. And so, I mean, I just don't know what it would be if it's, well, there's not enough guys that are Vince type guys. Well, look around the independent scene. There's not a lot of them out there. It's just, Brian, those guys have been replaced, I think, by smaller guys. And so I just don't know what the beef would be, but obviously it could run deeper than that. There could be some issues there. I just don't know. I mean, I'm skeptical at this time of year too, when they're doing so much, you know, it's McMahon mania and these stories are coming out. Sometimes you wonder what's kind of floated out there, hoping that people start buzzing. I just don't know.
And that's the other thing too, is that there's so much speculation about little things here and there. Like, is Ryback getting a push again? Because this is Vince's way of saying, I'm still behind the big guys. Or when they run down the calendar of events at WrestleMania, that the NXT show that Friday night isn't mentioned.
Right.
Is that an overstep? Is that a slight? Was that just somehow missed? Or what are we reading into that? There's a lot of little things that I don't know if they have no meaning or if they have meaning at all.
Yeah. You know, it's, there's such a guarded group. It's hard to believe that, unless there's somebody just from their inner circle that is spilling the beans on things. I don't think like your average WWE wrestler is going to know there's friction. You know, I don't think that your average office employee that is going to know there's friction. Would there be some? Sure. Yeah, there would be, but Vince is so isolated these days. I just don't know how many people are going to know about that. And with such a limited group, how many people then would be able to kind of spread the word that this is happening? And so it doesn't mean there's not with, like, this person told this person and the story kind of trickles down slowly but surely. That can happen. I don't know. I just apply logic to this going, what could Vince, unless it's just his ego is threatened by NXT for some reason. I mean, there were the reports that he was very unhappy when the fans were chanting better than Mania at last year's NXT show. And so that's an example of Vince's ego. You'd think he'd just laugh it off. I mean, you're Vince McMahon. It's WrestleMania. You've done, you've had a phenomenal career. But I mean, if little things like that do get to him, then that says, okay, he has a ridiculous ego, which I think we all know he does. But does it go that far, I guess, is the big question.
Right. And there's a lot of questions. I don't know how far to read into anything. I'm kind of the standpoint that I will read reports and speculation, but I take everything with a certain grain of salt, depending on who it comes from. And even then, you know, I kind of sit back and I say, let's see what happens. Let's see how this plays out, because there's been so many different things where things don't turn out the way that people think they're going to, or something gets misinterpreted, you know? So I'm kind of at that stage where it's just like, it's fun to read a lot of different things and kind of wonder and play a little armchair quarterback or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, all right, let's see it happen first before I really dive into it, you know, because otherwise it is a wrestling business and you get burned so many different times from thinking something's going to happen or there's a certain interaction between people or whatever it's going to be. And that's not the case at all. I mean, to me, the saddest thing about all of it is that my man, Tyler Breeze, is getting wasted on the main roster. But
yes, he is. Boy, I really wish they would just pay him the same wage and let him go back to NXT where he could do something.
Let's put it this way. I have a candle lit for him at all times now in my house.
Well, see, they're going to keep daylight savings time going because of that.
He needs a lot more people to have candles lit for him, I think. I feel bad for that guy. I never thought that he was going to be necessarily a world champion on the main roster, and it doesn't mean he needs to be, but I'm still surprised by what's happened, like right off the bat. He got like a mini push for about, a 2-week period there, and then it was over, just like that.
Yeah, he had the summer thing going on, and I mean, okay, that plays into some of the theories out there of Vince not being crazy about, you know, some of the talent that's being brought up or what's available in NXT. But I also wonder, is it something he did? Was there anything behind the scenes with him that maybe led to this? And I haven't heard anything directly from anyone. It may just be Vince looked at him and didn't see it. You know, it just, for whatever, whether it's size, whether it's character, whatever it is, he hasn't seen it. I was really hoping he was going to win the IC title in that match with Ambrose. And they actually made me feel a couple of times like it was possible. There was that one really good near fall in that match. Like, oh my God, they're actually going to make Breeze here. They've come to their senses. And of course he didn't. They went with Kevin Owens. But I think, Brian, that goes to show that all it takes is that moment. You know, that as bad as things look right now for Tyler Breeze, if they get excited about him today on Monday, he could be in a more meaningful position. And people, it's not like the ship has sailed. There's nothing you can do with this guy. There's certainly guys that feel like that, but Breeze isn't one of them yet. Not saying they're going to make him world champion ever, but if all of a sudden, like, he had won that match, we instantly would have been looking at him as, wow, it's the new Intercontinental Champion. They have big plans for this guy. This is great.
Right. And that's the whole thing to me is, like, if you're going to bring a guy up, give him a fair opportunity. If they fail on those merits or whatever, that's fine. But two weeks is not enough. And if that's all you thought you had out of him, or if you didn't have something in place for 2, 3, 4 months down the line at least, or, you know, even if it's just kind of a broad idea, then why do you bring him up in the first place?
Was he the Froyo guy?
He was not the Froyo guy, even though he did indulge me.
He's a Florida guy.
He did indulge me one time as me being the idiot that I am. I interviewed him one time, and I actually did do the Tyler Breeze selfie in the middle of a video interview with him, which I don't know why the hell I did that. It was something I thought of at the second, and I think he looked at me like, dork! And I thought of myself as that as well right after I did it. So I will not be doing that again with Tyler, even though he is very nice guy.
But he's not the Froyo guy.
He's not the Froyo guy.
I don't know who it could be, man.
Mm.
I'm going to keep, I'll keep firing away as we move forward here.
Why you keep firing away? Why don't you fire away with some plugs about your website?
Well, yeah, now I'm thinking about Froyo, but yeah, prowrestling.net. We do have daily all access podcasts now. For instance, today I spent a lot of time discussing last night's TNA Impact Wrestling show. Today's a little bit longer than usual. We try to keep them about anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes tops in length. Just basically trying to give you a little something like during your commute, make it nice and simple for you, and obviously save a lot of our audio content for the member side of things. If you want to check out our all access to get a good sample of what we do, you can visit the main page of prowrestling.net and find that info there. You can go right to the source at blogtalkradio.com/prowrestlingdotnet. The website updated. Basically, if I'm awake, I'm updating the site with the latest news, and we definitely have opinion pieces and things of that nature. feature, live coverage of all the major shows, Raw each week, TNA Impact last night, and the list goes on and on, Roadblock, and of course WrestleMania. Unlike a lot, you know, there's people, and I'm not trying to knock anybody, but a lot of times what you'll get from live coverage of shows is basically, here's what happened, a rundown. We add opinion. We assume in most cases, we try to give you both, but we assume you are watching a lot of these shows. If you're watching WrestleMania, do you really need me to tell you what happened? No. We want to give you opinion, an instant analysis, if you will, on what we are seeing. You get our instant reaction in our live coverage. So that, I think that's something that kind of separates us from a lot of different sites out there. And again, the main page is prowrestling.net. We have an ad-free version of the site, which has tons of exclusive audio content. Coming up tomorrow, I will be joined by former WWE creative team member and current MLW radio podcast host, Cort Bauer, is going to join me for the .NET weekly audio show. We'll be running down all the news of the week. The weekly show often contains first-run news items that have not been reported elsewhere. And then coming up next, either Wednesday or Thursday, we haven't hammered out a date, but he has agreed to do the show. WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross will be joining me also on the .NET Weekly audio show. That show's anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes. And again, we run down all the news of the week. Tomorrow, certainly, we'll have some exclusive items, if you will, just items that haven't been reported elsewhere. And if you're interested in membership, visit the main page at prowrestling.net. You'll see the sign-up area. Three different pricing options. It starts at $7.50 for 1 month, but if you want to save yourself some money, there's a six-month option where you can whittle that price down, and then there's the annual option where you can bring that price all the way down to $5.50 per month on average. So just visit prowrestling.net, and if you have any questions on any of it, hit me up on Twitter at prowrestlingnet.
There you go. Last thing, I will be at WrestleMania this year. You will not, right. But your guy Will Pruitt will be there. So
Andrew Cornette, both of them.
Oh, how about that? So yeah. Anything that I need to be weary of in advance? I mean, I met Will last year, so I already know kind of some of his tendencies or anything. So should I try to make sure they get lost in an alleyway somewhere or screw them somehow?
Jake will kill you with his bare hands. I would not mess with Jake. I mean, you've met Will. You know, Will's a pretty laid-back dude. Jake is like the opposite of that. I don't want to say psychotic and fear that, you know, he knows where I live. He used to live here. Now he lives down in Texas, but I'm sure he could come home and visit family at some point. Be very, very careful around Jake Barnett.
I am always very careful around Will because of his love for,
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Yeah, I look past that. I saw the movies and things, and they're okay. He read the books and saw the movies and gone to theme parks and everything else. He's
a psycho fan.
He really is. But he and I also, in addition to being a Harry Potter guy, which I'm take or leave, he's obsessed with Star Wars like I am. So we're not the guys that, you know, they make documentaries over, but we're definitely like obsessed Star Wars fans. We waste a lot of time exchanging notes about Star Wars and doing podcasts about how great the movie was, that the Force Awakens, and yeah, we're pretty much geeks. So I kind of leave the Harry Potter thing alone, and just know that we have that bond. And then the other thing that kind of drives us apart, though, he's a Packers fan. He lives in California, but he's a Packers fan. And of course, I'm a diehard Minnesota Viking fan,
and I'm a Bears fan, so we're all feuding.
Yeah, and nobody likes the Lions, apparently.
Well, that's true in all walks of life.
Pretty much. I don't even know if fans in Detroit like the Lions at this point.
No, they
especially
don't.
Especially now that Kelvin's gone.
Yeah, he's gone, so there's no reason to cheer for them. So, yeah. So, well, I always appreciate you coming on the podcast, my man, and I'm sure we'll be talking somewhere around WrestleMania. Who knows? Maybe I'll make my annual Sunday morning WrestleMania Day podcast with you.
Yeah, brunch with Brian Fritz. We talk the day after the WWE Hall of Fame, get a feel for what's going on during WrestleMania weekend and all that good stuff. Of course, you go to damn near all of these. And so I like to talk to you and kind of get a feel for how it compares to some of the other WrestleMania events you've been to as far as the city, the weather, the atmosphere, that sort of thing. And then back to Orlando next year rather than Minneapolis, which we talked about. But yeah, it's... I don't know, Brian. I kind of feel like Minneapolis was robbed.
I think they were robbed, but I was glad it was my city. Well, the funny thing is I'm happy it's in Orlando, but at the same time, I like traveling to different cities because then,
yeah,
I find, not a lot of time, but I find a little time to go check out the city and stuff. And you know, in Orlando, kind of know the city. But it is cool having it in your hometown as well. So
nice thing is I know a guy down there who has a couch. So if I decide to go next year.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, I always appreciate you coming on the podcast. And once again, everybody can go to prowrestling.net, check out all the fantastic stuff going over there and sign up to become a member there as well. And listen to all the different audio podcasts and exclusive news that Jason has. I'll be back later on in the week. I'll talk to you then.
Meet you.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.